From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Lorna Shaddick. Ukrainian troops have launched an attack to regain control of an airport in Donetsk, which was taken over by pro-Russian separatists. The assault saw a fierce battle using fighter jets, helicopters and artillery, and comes a day after Ukraine's presidential election, though rebels largely prevented the vote taking place in the east of the country. Daria Bondarchuk reports.
Ukrainian troops have been policing the perimeter of Donetsk Airport, where services had been disrupted from Monday morning. But the head of the airport's press service says dozens of armed pro-Russian gunmen from the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic had arrived in the early hours of the morning and demanded the Ukrainian troops to leave. The Reuters news agency reports that the road to the airport is blocked by Ukrainian police. Russian media quotes local witnesses saying several military airplanes and helicopters were spotted in the skies over Donetsk. Daria Bondarchuk, Moscow.
Despite the unrest in the east, Ukrainians elected a new president on Sunday. 48-year-old pro-European billionaire Petro Poroshenko says he'll push for new parliamentary elections and wants to hold talks with Russia to end the crisis. Moscow says it is open to dialogue, but Ukraine's military action against separatists must end. Here's Tom Barton in Moscow.
Mr. Poroshenko, reportedly Ukraine's ninth richest man with a fortune built on chocolate factories, says that talks will be held with those that don't take up arms in the east. He also says that for Ukraine's security, relations should be improved with Russia, as well as taking Ukraine closer to the EU. But he stressed that Kiev would never recognise Russia's occupation of Crimea, which was annexed by Russia in March. Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Friday that he would recognise the result of the election. Tom Barton, Moscow.
A political earthquake. That's how France's Prime Minister has described the results of this weekend's European parliamentary elections. Eurosceptic and far-right parties performed strongly, and the three big centrist blocs all lost seats, though they still hold the parliamentary majority. The United Kingdom Independence Party, or UKIP, took 27% of the British vote, leading Prime Minister David Cameron to say voters were disillusioned with the EU. Dan Whitehead reports from London.
The leader of the United Kingdom Independence Party, Nigel Farage, had predicted a political earthquake, and it was certainly delivered. The party snatched seats from all major political parties, so far seeing 23 members elected to the European Parliament. That's 10 more than they got last year, with the Conservatives, Labour and Liberal Democrats coming in behind. Reacting to his party's win, leader Nigel Farage said his dream had become reality and that UKIP is now the third force in British politics. UKIP's anti-immigration and Eurosceptic view echoes results seen across parts of Europe, where far-right parties also did well. Dan Whitehead, London.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. Voters across Egypt are going to the polls on Monday and Tuesday to choose a new president for the second time in 2 years. The ballots taking place amid tight police and military security operations for fear of attacks by militants. Former army chief Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, who deposed Islamist president Mohamed Morsi last year, is forecast to win the vote. He's standing against left-wing candidate Hamdin Sabahi. Narendra Modi has been sworn in as India's new prime minister during a ceremony at Delhi's presidential palace. The former tea vendor led his BJP party to the biggest victory by any group in India for 30 years, winning a parliamentary majority. The US-India relationship has been on rocky territory recently, but Anish Goel, a senior fellow at the New America Foundation's International Security Programme, says India's new leadership now needs to make an effort to move forward.
I think they need to give the United States some sign, some signal that they're interested also in a strong relationship, something substantive, particularly on the economic and trade and investment side. There are a number of reforms that the Indian government just hasn't moved on in the past couple of years. And I think with a strong mandate, having the Indian government do something to this effect to demonstrate that they are interested in having a relationship, I think that will be very well received in the United States.
U.S. drugs company Pfizer has abandoned its effort to buy British rival AstraZeneca for $117 billion. The deal would have been the drugs industry's biggest ever. The decision ends a month-long public fight between two of the world's biggest pharmaceutical firms that sparked political concerns on both sides of the Atlantic. Sounds there from Arlington National Cemetery just outside Washington, D.C., where fresh from a surprise visit to U.S. troops in Afghanistan this weekend, President Obama has been laying a wreath to mark Memorial Day. It comes amid allegations of delayed medical care and falsified records by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And that's the latest Feature Story News. Lorna Shaddick reporting.